Welcome to another installment of the Underground Lounge. I'm your host and your co-host, Lou Will. To my left is my brother, Spank Horton. Today, we have a special guest in the building, rapper, philanthropist, businessman, entrepreneur, Bay Area Zone, Yay Area Zone, Deer Valley High School Zone.
Oh, you did your research.
My dog, Simba. Hey, and listen, and speaking of my research, I was checking because I like to be prepared when I talk to somebody. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't really like winging it. I want to know what's happening.
Yeah,
you coming at me right now? Like, what's going on?
yeah. I take credit for that. That wasn't what I was doing. But now that you mentioned that, I take the credit for that.
Yeah,
bro, you averaged 26 points a game at one point in your high school career. I knew you was an athlete.
Yeah.
I knew you was a hooper. I could tell by the freestyles that you do when you recap the NFL, recap the NBA.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you got busy like that. A lot of times when guys say they play basketball,
yeah,
it'd be like, I know. It's going to be one of them episodes. Spank, fuck it. I done started the war.
We about to have a good one today.
I hoop too. I hoop too. I ain't average.
You don't look like you hoop, Spank. You got on purple socks. You got on purple socks and Dior shoes.
It's blending.
You look like you shoot with your left hand.
It's blending with my set, though. Come on, man.
It's blending with the set, man.
I averaged about 4 or 5 my senior year. But we was a powerhouse, though. My school was a powerhouse.
Tell them who
y'all had.
Simon Gratz, bro. You know what I'm saying? We had 6 Division I players on my team. I wasn't one of them, though.
Okay. Yeah.
We was a powerhouse.
Nah, so I grew up, man, small town called Antioch, which is like 30 minutes outside of Oakland and San Francisco.
Okay.
So it was a suburban community that us as niggas turned to the ghetto.
Okay.
Right? So it was one of them communities.
I'm kind of going through that in my neighborhood a little bit.
It was one of them communities to where it was like all rich white folks,
mm-hmm.
and they allowed Section 8 to come in.
Oh!
That's exactly what I'm going through in my neighborhood.
Section 8 come in, you start getting 6-bedroom houses for $12 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You start getting all that. So everybody from Oakland and San Francisco and Richmond start moving to Antioch thinking they was getting their kids out the hood, but they was really starting a whole new one.
Mm-hmm.
So we all linked back up in Antioch, man, and you know, that was all we had to do out there was hoop.
You know what's crazy? I'm going through that in my community, right? So my freshman year in my high school, it was an all white school. By my senior year, it was an all black school.
Wow. Yep.
By the time I got to my senior year, and now it's a fully grown black school. And when we say black school, don't mean it's ghetto, it's a bunch of crime,
sure.
bunch
it's
of bullshit going on.
Kids.
It's just majority black kids. So the whole dynamic
of the whole.
But
there's a lot of bullshit going on, though. It's going on.
I mean, they're kids, you know what I'm saying? They getting into their shit.
Right,
these niggas setting fires in the bathroom if they don't want to go to class. they hustle is on a different level. I never once thought about that.
Yeah.
They setting the bathroom on fire because they know they got to go in, put the fire out, mm-hmm. and check everything before you put the kids back into school.
Yeah, that's different.
But they changed. We've changed the entire dynamic of our community,
mm-hmm.
and it's so different. Like I used to go to my neighborhood Kroger late at night.
Yeah.
Flip flops on whatever, and it'd just be like, "Hey, Mr. Williams."
Right.
And people keep moving. You know, older white people mm-hmm, just you know they gonna let me make it.
Yeah.
Now I do that same trip, like, yo, you, Lou Will?
I'm like, I gotta get a picture.
I'm like, bro, I'm in flip. I got Crocs on. I'm just coming to get some ice cream right quick. You know what I'm saying? But that's how my community is, so I can relate.
That's exactly how it was, man. Coming up in California in general, bro, we don't got a lot of black people on this side. I think we make up for about 13% of the population as a country in the United States as a whole.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that looks like out here, but I'm pretty sure it's a very small percentage that 13%.
Sure, yeah.
So we grow up very diverse with different Spanish people and Caucasian people, Asian people, different things like that. So Antioch was kind of like the first place I went to where I seen it like become what it is today, but it didn't start that way. It was a real suburban city, and now it's like a real urban city. So
how you make that transition from I still want to talk about basketball.
Okay, cool.
Because 26 points a game
is nothing to sniff at. I'm not one to lie. I was playing a bunch of weak ass white boys.
Okay.
I'm not one to lie.
But 26 is 26.
26 is 26.
It is.
At what point did you decide, all right, maybe I'm a take my music more serious? And when did you start getting into
my
working
grades
on your pen?
I'm gonna tell you the exact story. I got caught cheating on my SAT test.
Damn.
I had too much pressure on me. I was nervous. You know how the SATs work. Everybody don't get the same test,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't so know. I got caught.
That's another story. Well, go ahead.
I got caught cheating on my SAT test, so I ain't passed clearinghouse rooms. Clearinghouse rules.
Yeah, I know yeah. clearinghouse.
So they wanted me to go play at a JC, and mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I didn't talk too much shit to go play for the 13th grade.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, ain't no way in the fuck I'm finna go to no JC. Like, I didn't talk too much shit to everybody here.
Yeah. You got a reputation to keep.
I'm
yeah,
finna go to Cal. I'm yeah. finna kill niggas. You feel? I'm finna go play yeah. for the Warriors. You feel me? I'm talking all this yeah. shit. Now my grades
just
bad.
Up, just to pop up at a JC.
Just to pop like, up at a JC.
Hey, check him out. Check
yeah.
Big shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't going for that.
It ain't happening. So I'm like, man, I got to figure something else out to do. So one of my homies at the time, who ended up turning out to be a bitch ass nigga.
Damn, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, now let's dial it back a little bit. Hold on, you got a name?
Michael Shaw.
Damn, you bitch ass nigga.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. They had a studio at the time. We'll get to Michael Shaw later.
Okay.
Right. But they had a studio at the time, and it was my first time. I was always a popular kid. Right, my parents came from doing real estate. My mom, well, my stepdad came from doing real estate. My mom was from the streets. My mom had me in prison. I was mm-hmm. born in prison. That's what a
you
lot
touched,
of people
you touched
know.
On it in your music. You yeah. said mom's hustled a bit, aunt yeah. hustled a bit.
Yeah, my mom was kind of heavy in the streets, and she kind of let that life go when she came home, and she stepped into real estate. She met my stepdad, who ended up giving her the game, and she took it, surpassed him.
Get real estate.
Yeah, yeah, straight real estate. So I came from a family that where as a kid, I was able to see things that most kids my age didn't think was possible,
mm-hmm.
right? So my mom always took me to certain concerts and we had backstage passes or we go right. to NBA All-Star Weekend 2000 when Vince Carter was
Moms
in Oakland.
Made it happen.
You know what I'm saying? Moms she made sure I was right there sitting behind Shaq with the camcorder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still got the ball to this day with KG and Shaq's signature and Vince Carter and everybody like that. So I was able to see things that as a kid that taught me like a lot of what I used to dream was possible.
That's tough.
Dope as hell.
That's tough. When you was growing up, and like you said, your mom, she made sure you didn't lack nothing.
Yeah.
She tried to give you the best experiences. And like I touched on your uncle that, as well that you mentioned in the music, did you understand that's what was going on for your benefit?
No.
Or were you just living your life going with
the
flow of
everything?
At the
time, I didn't. At the time, I was a spoiled-ass kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I grew up backwards. I tell people that all the time. I grew up with money, and then we lost it. So I had to figure out how to survive with it. Without it as
hold
I got
on,
older.
Hold on. What age was you when y'all lost it? Like, what age?
17.
Oh, whew, that's
about
high
17.
School.
So my parents touched about 10 M's when I was in high school.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a car in eighth grade.
Yeah.
I had a car in the eighth grade, brand new Mustang.
Yeah, it's no way you going JC, nigga.
Yeah, I had
it's no way yeah. you can go to the JC with
I had
that.
A Dodge Jeez. Magnum when Nelly first dropped the Eagle on video.
Oh, wow.
I got that as a freshman. I had a BMW 750 as a sophomore. I brought an Escalade in 11th grade.
Sheesh.
So I was a spoiled kid.
Right.
And what happened was.
Oh, no, they weren't. They was.
No, we was having it.
They was trapping.
Yeah.
They were traffickers.
Yeah,
they wasn't hustling.
No, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you the
truth. That's trafficking. That ain't hustling. It's
it
a hustling is
trafficking.
Hustling is just trying to goddamn get enough to eat for the week.
No, real talk.
This ain't
real
that.
Talk. Real talk. This yeah. was real life legal money. This was legal money through real estate. My stepdad taught my mom the real estate game, and everything she did in the streets
right.
is what she applied to real estate.
Oh,
and my mom
go.
A good-looking
okay.
woman.
Let's clear. Yeah, let's
so
keep it clear.
So she knew, like, oh,
yeah,
I
let's
sell
keep
a house.
Clear. I just turned
you
mama into
moms
Griselda
on the
Blanco. My bad. My apologies, mama. I like to live in facts.
Got a whole new Griselda over there.
Yeah. I like to deal in facts. Okay, my fault.
No,
that's,
mom's
that's my
was a good-looking woman that understood her position, so she knew, okay, this nigga wanna buy this house, but he kinda wanna fuck me, right? Mm-hmm. Or he kinda trying to get my number, right? So I'ma sway him into getting this. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna do nothing with him. I ain't
right,
gonna
right,
sell
right.
myself.
Now that is
you
hustling.
Know what I mean? Yeah, but I'ma show
making
him his crib just cause he wanna be around me. And she would sell cribs and my mom really got it going. And what happened was, as my mom became legal, my stepdad started participating in kinda illegal things within that space of real estate.
Mm. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So with that happening, my parents ended up getting sued when I was in the 12th grade. This is in the middle of my senior season, right?
They was get that sued. Your senior season was the best season you probably think when you
worst
was
season.
Now, are you already in the music at this time
I'm,
yet?
I'm approaching it. I'm rapping, but I really don't give a fuck about it at the time.
Right.
So you got the lunchroom tables, rapping. Yeah. Okay.
And the reason my senior season was my worst season was because that was the best team we had. We had four scorers, so I had to kind of take a back seat. So we had a guy named Tyree Murray, D'Angelo Williams, and Mike Martin. All these guys were scorers. Before that, it was just me and Tyree. Mike and D'Angelo transferred from two different schools, so we kind of had to make room for their style of play. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to take more of like the slasher defensive approach, you know what I mean? Because they was better shooters than me. So with that, my mom goes through what they go through. It's all on the news, right? I'm in school. The feds pull me out of class. Yeah. I get pulled in the office and everything, and I'm embarrassed as shit to the point where my mom pulled me out of school for like 2 weeks. And she pulled me out of school, and it was the first time where I realized we wasn't finna have no money for a minute. It was the first time I knew what it felt like to be cold, because every time that I would pick the homies up and we go to parties or we chilling, I'm North faced up. We in my Escalade, the heater on, we in my Beamer, but this was the first time I had to sell my car, or I had to sell my shoes, or I had to sell my jacket, and we had to leave this crib. And it's crazy, because I always tell my mama, I'm gonna buy her this crib back. My mom wanted this crib her whole life. I never forget the address, 5125, I won't tell you the street, because I'm gonna buy it back for her one day. It was 5125, and she wanted this crib, and she got the crib. And I remember the day we lost it and we had to move to a place in Brentwood, and I never seen my mom like cry or like really frustrated. You know what
Your
I mean?
Mom was y'all family rock. She was
she
like,
everything.
Yeah.
After my grandma passed, it was like my mama, like everything fall under her, like her younger brothers, her older brothers, her younger sisters, they kids, everything fall under my mom. She was like the brains of our family. So when I seen my mom kind of like just lose her identity, you know what I mean, just losing her business and everything, it made me be like, man, I gotta do something. Like this basketball shit ain't gonna do it. I failed my SAT.
You feel me? Like, you was the only child.
I gotta figure something out. I got a little brother, but at the time he's six.
Okay,
right.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? So me and my little brother, we 10 years apart. So I'm 16, he's six. So he don't even know what's going on. He's just now getting in the...
It's crazy because our upbringing parallel, because my brother is 10 years my senior. So I'm the little baby brother. Like, I'm around all the bullshit.
Yep.
I'm seeing how my brother moving, but when it came to street shit, like, little homie, go in the house. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Every time it kind of got crazy in the neighborhood, go in the house. Yeah. Like, I experienced and witnessed so much shit being with my big brother and just not knowing. I'm a kid.
Right, naive.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm watching street activity, not knowing
what's going on
until I get to a point where I'm like, oh, this nigga.
Bro, why you keep shaking everybody's hand out here?
Yeah, like, it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, my brother, I was nine when he got sentenced to 10 years. The first time my brother seen me play basketball, I was a pro.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dig what I'm saying? The first time he seen me hoop,
How did that make you feel, just as his little brother? Like, knowing, probably not even knowing everything your brother been through, but knowing he was supportive to keep you out of the things he was going through. How did that make you feel?
That's why
for him
our relationship strong to this day. Like, we done had some scenarios. Like, he's a very, my big brother, shout out to T, he a realistic person, right? Like, in a lot of scenarios in my family, I'm boss baby. I'm the youngest, but I control traffic. You know what I'm saying? So my family kind of swing how I swing, right?
Right.
But every once in a while, it's a scenario. I remember I got into a little thing, and my brother looked at me and said, "Hey, go get in the car." And I looked at him. He said, "Hey, don't ever forget you my little brother. Go get in the car." And so it's moments like that where everything is perspective. Like, I'm gonna let you do you, bro. But at the end of the day, I'm big bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So our dynamics.
That's crazy you say that, because I always feel like if I would have had a big brother, I would have been a basketball player and not a rapper. Because I felt like I never developed the discipline to allow me to become better as a player. I was always good enough to get by.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So once the game was over, I'm out partying. Like, I'm running with the girl. I ain't working on my game. You know what I'm saying? So I always felt like if I had that, oh, and I ain't had my daddy in my life. My daddy got life in prison. And then when he got an appeal, they killed him. You know what I'm saying? So my mama, my daddy, my brothers, my grandmama, everything was my mama. And she could only do so much. She working two jobs, you know what I mean? Doing real estate, doing all kind of different things. And it's like, what the hell do she know about basketball? So it's crazy.
See, that's where we parallel at.
Yeah.
I ain't take basketball serious. See, I was always
well, you wore purple socks.
First of all.
And he was just tall.
These socks alone. Hey, man, get a zoom in on me, these good socks, man. These is
I know men's warehouse what I see.
These ain't men's warehouse,
the
brother.
Motherfuckers came in a pack.
These ain't men's warehouse.
Bet you did they come in a pack?
One pair cost $25, brother.
Ooh, what's
the name of them?
They wasn't no $25.
No, they're not Stans.
Because don't nobody forget $25 socks, nigga. What kind of socks is that?
Because I buy a lot of different kinds.
You
that's
bought
why.
Them in a pack, man.
I'm about to Google them. Matter of fact, let me Google
them. You got them good fellas.
I'm going to Google them. They're not good fellas either. They're some good socks.
Look, while he Google how much them damn TJ Maxx socks is, how you get the name Simba?
Shit, typical. Favorite
Lion
movie.
King.
That's it?
Favorite movie. As
favorite movie.
But it was my favorite movie because I related to the story. I lost my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I never even had a real conversation with my dad as a kid. I didn't even meet my dad really till I was 16. And then he was dead by 21. Mm. Right? So I got like a 5-year window of knowing my dad. Anything before or after that is stories I've heard or shit people told me. So when I seen The Lion King, I just related to the story. Kid, dad died. He run away from home. Kind of like me. I never ran away, but I ran towards different things that I probably should have focused on at home to try to find myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I would find things like music.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or different things I could get into to make some money. But music was the one that I loved the most. And one day, I was chilling with the homie JB and the bitch-ass nigga I was telling y'all about.
Michael Shaw.
Mike Shaw.
I remember the name.
And they was like, man, you need a rap name.
How much them socks is?
Come on, man, stop playing.
He ain't lying. Them joints $75.
Stop playing me, bro.
Nah, he said 25.
Nah,
because it's three packs.
They out of Neiman Marcus.
What kind of socks are they?
They call
Paul church
Smith,
socks.
Bro. They call Paul Smith.
Paul
bro.
Smith, yeah.
You don't know
he's
Paul?
Some Paul Smith.
Yeah, I don't know.
Paul getting some money.
So why you get Paul all that fucking money
Paul
for them socks?
Hey, Paul Smith's cheapest socks is $30.
Paul Smith hustling.
Paul getting some money.
Telling you, bro. And I got all these right here. I got
Paul,
all them right
Paul
there.
Gets,
you know what I'm saying?
Paul getting some money. Hey,
don't
listen.
Disrespect my sock game. See, I can't wear regular tube socks with a nice little fit.
Nah, you fly.
I can't.
You fly.
You fly. I got my Michael Jordans
on. You can do those with that fit.
You got them MJs on. See, to me, them is the LeBron Jameses.
Yeah.
Not the MJs.
Nah, these.
When I see 23, I think LeBron.
Okay. We going there early.
We done with the 80s.
But you know what's, but look, though.
Yo, whoever's voice that is, bro, he killing it right now, yo.
Nah, I agree with you. LeBron is the GOAT to me. Like, if you talk about the totality of what he's been able to do.
Yeah.
I say what Bron got over MJ, what Bron got over Kobe is none of the other two guys, they never had the pressure or the expectation that LeBron has had for so long.
Mm.
We are talking about he's in the 25th year of a run, bro. Because it's 20.
High school.
It's 20 pro.
Yeah.
It's 20 pro.
Yeah.
And we've known him since
high school.
Yeah. This is a 25-year run, and he's exceeded every expectation that society has put on him, media has put on him, anything that has put on him. He's exceeded it, and he's still doing it. He's still in a position to break records right now.
Yeah. Let me ask you this,
like, he's 59 assists away from being being the only player to ever have 40K points, 11,000 rebounds, 11,000 assists. He's 59 assists away from that.
Wow.
Dog is literally – every single game, he makes history.
That's a triple-double career.
As somebody that played against both, what's the difference between playing against Kobe versus playing against LeBron?
Kobe trying to cut your throat. Kobe is a stone cold killer. He want to cut your throat. He don't want you to even think that you can even be on the same court as him.
Mm.
He want to outsmart you. He want to do anything. He wants to destroy you. Mm. LeBron is a tactician. He want to pick you apart. He more in the chess. He want to show you, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
I'm going to outsmart you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put chess pieces in place.
Right.
To, at the end of the day, I want a clean win, and it's going to go my way.
Yeah.
It's going to go at my pace. Mm. I don't care what y'all talking about. Yes, I'm going to throw the ball to the open man for the game if he open. He's open for a reason. I made sure he was open.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. Kobe going to shoot it over three guys, and he going to cash it out.
Mm-hmm.
Bron might trust somebody else, and that was something that Kobe talked about, learning how to trust his teammates and play at a different angle of the game.
Yeah.
That was another thing that MJ talked about, learning how to trust his teammates.
Yeah.
So I think they opposite when it comes to mindset. Like, Bron is more of a, if it's the right play, I'll pass it.
Yeah.
Mm. MJ and Kobe, like, bro.
I'm not passing it.
It's,
I'm about to
this my show. Ahead. It's my world. We're going to live and die at the top.
Kobe said it. He said, if three people on me and you wide open, my shot is better.
I'm going to shoot it. Yeah. And rightfully so, but the mentalities are different. How they, both of them, like, LeBron is a slow death.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe like,
right.
Next.
Now, I don't want to turn this into the Lou Will interview, but as a basketball fan,
bro.
I got questions, right? Because you played.
Hold on.
Okay. You played with one of my favorite players ever. You played with the person that I used to dress like. My mama wouldn't let me get braids like him.
Yeah.
I used to go to Marine World and get sprayed on tattoos.
You see where you at? Look. We keep it. Yeah.
You played with that dude.
You got inspirations.
What was it like, right, in a time of no social media, in a time of basketball players not really being, how could I say that? Urban superstars?
No, he's a rock star.
Urban rock stars, right?
Not even urban. We gravitated to him because it was familiar to us.
Yeah.
But I traveled with him.
Yeah.
I seen the impact that he had on Middle America. I seen the impact he had on the hood. I seen the impact that he had on corporate America. Like, I was with him day in and day out.
What was that like?
Like, commercial shoots and private jets and the whole nine. Like, I watched it, and I'm you. Like, I modeled my game after him,
mm-hmm.
dressed. Like, he's the person, he's the reason I got tattoos to this mm-hmm. day. He's the reason I care about jewelry. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is somebody that I really revered. You know what I'm saying? So to have that experience close up and him embrace me, like, I had the best seat in the house.
Yeah, I was dope that he
I had the best seat in the house. Listen, I remember one day, I'm a rookie. I just got on a team. I'm a 17-year-old kid. We get on a team bus. We in training camp. I get on a bus. AI, he sit all the way at the back. Second seat to the back.
Mm-hmm.
He say, hey, boy, come on, bring your bitch ass back here. I was either a little bitch ass nigga,
mm-hmm.
another word we can't say no more in society.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's how he talked to me. You know what I'm saying?
So you was sitting in the front all the time, or?
He never even let me get that far. He told me,
get on.
Come back here. So right. I sat at the very last seat of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
He would sit in front of me, okay. right? Shavlik Randolph, who was also a rookie,
mm-hmm. yeah.
came back there. And he looked at Shav, he said, man, you better take your ass back up there in front of him. And from that moment on, it told me, oh, this is different. Like,
right.
he's taking
you in.
A liking to me. And throughout my 17 years of my career, I sat at the end of the bus.
Oh, wow.
I sat at the last seat of the bus because of that with AI. So to have them experiences, bro, like, AI stories will be an episode in itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I seen, like you said, urban. No, I seen white kids with cornrows. I seen white kids with the three jerseys. I seen white kids with all the questions and the answers on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
seen the shooting sleeves went crazy. Mm-hmm. Remember, he got the shooting, the first original shooting sleeve is AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now how many players wearing shooting sleeves?
And they used to tell us he wore it to warm his elbow up.
Yeah.
Now everybody wear that shit.
Yeah. And remember, his first design had the spider web
on the elbow.
And then they came back and realized, they said, this might not his, but they was like, this might be associated with gang relation. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they had to get rid of the damn the spider.
Right.
But they banned his, just to make their own.
Yeah.
Like the NBA banned, because I think his was made by Reebok, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They banned him, and then the next year they had NBA shooting sleeves.
What that do for your confidence? Just as somebody coming in to the league and sitting next to somebody iconic as that. And I got a question for you. I'm asking him this for a reason. But what did that do for your confidence coming into the game? Like, what was the main thing you took from having somebody like that you could have a courtside seat?
It made me realize I belong. You know what I'm saying? Like, it made me realize I belong, because as much as he did that, it's a clip on the internet that go viral every once in a while. I walk up to him and he said, man, you ain't never scored in no real game, man. You ain't like that. You ain't no killer like that. Now go out there and get taught. And I run off like a kid and run on the court to do the drill. But just in the back of my mind, like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm Naismith Player of the Year.
Right.
I'm 4,000 points in. I averaged 25 points as a freshman.
Right.
Like, I'm one of them. You know what I'm saying? But him constantly lighting that fire. What they saying. You know what I'm saying?
So that person for me, which is crazy, is somebody that's younger than me, was Roddy Rich. Roddy Rich was the first person I seen, like, really go from, like, I seen everybody around the way, you know,
getting Roddy Rich story.
Getting rap fame.
I got a Roddy Rich story.
Okay.
I got a Roddy Rich story.
Let's talk about
it. I'm in the studio with Meek. And it's this young dude in the corner. He kind of reserved to himself. This before he grew his hair out to the fro. He still had the fade.
Yep.
He in the cut, minding his business and everything. Calm as ever, he walk over to me. He said, hey, man, big fan of your game, bro. I love everything you doing. My name Roddy Rich, bro. I'm from the West Coast. Hey, Meek, if it's cool when you done, bro, you mind if I play my song for Lou to let him check it out? Meek said, cool. Went back to recording whatever. I think Ross came in the studio. Ross got a massage in the studio. That was crazy shit I ever seen. I'm talking about shirt off the whole show.
Bro, he did it on the
person. Yeah. In the control room, just sitting there. What the fucking song was they working on? They was working on, fuck it, I'm going to fuck up the timeline.
Yeah.
But he just kept saying, oh. That's all I remember. He just listening to the beat. So the whole session go by. Roddy, like, it's cool. He played a song. He played Die Young for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn, bro, this shit dope. I'm like, hey, man, good luck with everything. I hope it work out and shit. I think I greeted you when I met you.
Yeah.
And a year later, maybe it might not have even been a year. It might have been 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing a song. It's not registering. Right. Video come out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's the motherfucker. And I ran into him. He came to a skate party I did in, I don't know if that's Inglewood or what. It's a popular skating rink. Everybody throw private parties.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up to me and said, I told you.
Yeah.
I told, and we bear hugged.
Right.
And we've had a cool relationship since then, bro. That's how I met Roddy.
I met bro like 2018 through the homie Cass. And he came to the studio. This before I met him with Dallas, because, you know, mm-hmm. he kind of signed to the same situation. So he came to the studio, and I heard Die Young for the first time. And I'm like,
stop drinking.
I'm like, oh, no, we just getting started. I heard Die Young for the first time, and I'm like, damn, this shit cold. Now, coming from where I'm coming from, I didn't see the two shorts, the E-40s, the packs. The Jay Valentine, you know what I mean? I didn't see people from my region do it, but I never met and like kind of had like a close up courtside seat to like a global superstar's success. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like he was the first person that was like going to give $500,000 a show and come shoot my video.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
And telling me like, bro, it's possible. Like, you could do this same thing, if not bigger than me. Like, it's possible.
Right.
That's what kept me going. I said all that to say, you've connected to one of the greatest comedians ever. Right? So while we having this,
it's the turned into goddamn Simba on the ground.
No, we going to fuck around and bring Simba on as a guest host.
But I like to have this bi-weekly conversation.
Bi-weekly, Simba, you gotta pull up and talk shit with us.
Easy call.
For sure. Yeah.
But I like to have this conversation because it's so many kids that I talk to and so many people that I meet, and they go through the same things that we go through on the way up, and they just don't know.
Don't know. They don't.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So what was it like seeing Kev, and then you became a part of an intricate role in that? Like, how did that happen?
The crazy part is I was around from the beginning. So he couldn't even sell a comedy club when I first started working with him. Like, we knew each other playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? We knew each other, like, in the neighborhood. I used to go to his neighborhood all the time.
Was he better than you?
Was he better than me? No.
It didn't work out for neither one of us.
It didn't work out for neither one of us. But, you know what I'm saying? So he wasn't better than me, though. You know what I'm saying? Only because I was taller, so they'd pick me before. Yeah. But no, we knew each other since we was young, and then he started doing comedy. I went to go support him. And then he just took off, man. He started doing movies, blah, blah, blah. But he still wasn't known in a stand-up way because he did Paper Soldiers, he did Death of a Dynasty, and I believe he did Soul Plane right after that. So those are three movies. But now I'm starting to get the bug, like, yo.
What was the first two movies?
Paper Soldiers and then Death of a Dynasty. Soldiers,
okay.
Death of a Dynasty was the whole, it was supposed to show how Rockefeller broke up and stuff like that. So he did those first two movies. Like, ah, bro, you on, bro. You doing your thing. Mm-hmm. So then after a while, I got the itch. I said, let me try this comedy. Let me see what's going on. I always been told I was funny. Let me try it. I started doing it. I never even told him, though. I never hit him up. I was like, yo, I'm doing it, too. I ain't never said anything. He found out when he hit me. He said, yo, you doing comedy? I said, yeah. He said, why you didn't tell me? I said, well, I wanted you to find out. I don't want you to think I'm trying to ride your coattail and nothing like that. He said, nah, bro, I'm going to come check you out. So one time he was in Philly, I performed. He said, oh, bro, when I get a chance, I'm going to take you with me. I said, bet. So then we started touring after he did Soul Plane. He started touring a little bit, but he could barely sell out a comedy club, bro. Mind you, a comedy club is what, 250, 300 people? Mm-hmm. And then over the years, he just kept saying, Spank, stay with me. I'm telling you. I got the vision. I'm telling you, stay with me. Because I was like, man, I'd rather go host this fashion show or this hair show for $1,000. If I'm rolling with you, I'm only getting $300, bro. Right. This ain't working. I still got to pay bills and stuff like that. But he just kept saying, yo, bro, you want to be with me? I'm telling you, I got you. Then it seemed like every other year, bro, it just got bigger and bigger. Now, global superstar. It's crazy.
Let me ask you this. We don't got to talk about it if you don't want to talk about it. Because I feel it's disrespectful. When you hear people like Cat Williams go to Club Shay Shay and they say he didn't work for what where he got.
Right.
Right. Right. I don't believe that's true because I'm attached to a comedian, which is my little brother, Lewis Belt, and all he talk about is Kevin Hart come up and the things he seen Kevin Hart
shout
do.
Out to Lou,
shout
too.
Out to Lou, too.
I mean?
He should have been here today.
He was on his way.
But shout out to Lou. He got his special on YouTube, raised by OGs, not IG. I checked it out. Yeah, so shout out to Lou.
How does that make you feel when you hear people discredit the work he put in and you seen it firsthand?
That's why I always say it's jealousy. It got to be jealousy because, come on, bro, you know. Ain't nobody just being a plant and just blowing up like that.
And as eyewitnesses, I witnessed it.
Right.
Like Kev used to text me to pull up to the comedy club, to the Laugh House in Philly to check him out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I watched the grind.
Man, so,
I watched the grind. And always been funny. Yeah. And to be a plant, you still got to be funny. Like, you still got to deliver. Even if somebody put you in a position, like, you still got to deliver, bro. And Kev is a, like you said, a global superstar. I was just walking through Universal Studios the other day. Motherfucker is the Life of Pets voice for the damn dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm looking like, bro, that's my real partner. Like, I really know dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, but those are surreal moments. Like, we really walking through Universal Studios, and Kev is a part of that. Like, he's to the point, I don't know a comedian present time in the last decade that's bigger than Kevin Hart.
I don't know a comedian that introduced lifestyle to the comedy world like
Eddie
Kevin
Murphy.
Hart.
Eddie Murphy.
I never bought an Eddie Murphy shoe.
But you bought a lot of Eddie Murphy shit, though.
I never wanted to wear red leather pants like Eddie
Murphy. Well, I will say this. Eddie definitely planted
the whole
As far as lifestyle, superstar,
he might not have made you want to buy the leather pants. But Eddie, if motherfuckers want to make fun of it, they can. But at that time, that record with Rick James was a smash hit.
You're right. That's a smash hit.
That's lifestyle. That's him. At that time, he getting fly for the time. Them red leather pants, we might not have bought them 20 years later.
That's
but
true.
Right.
At that time, he was trailblazing doing that shit.
But you know why every comedian, not every comedian, but most comedians, when they do specials now, they have on some type of leather. That's always paying homage to Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Like, start looking at specials. Nah, like,
and that's
I love on.
So that's bringing lifestyle. Yeah,
Marvin Lawrence, check out one of his. He had
Marvin
leather
Lawrence,
on.
Run Tell That.
Yeah,
he yeah Run Tell That. Yeah.
Deion Cole, who just popped off with him, yeah. He had leather pants on. Like, that's comedians giving homage to Eddie because he did the leather thing.
Hey, Lou, you got to put on some leather, man.
I want to ask you about the record that came out 2022. I know you're in the studio now working on another one.
Yeah.
And you trying to put something special together for the people, but you named it Results Take Time.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to speak to what that means for like upcoming artists, because you know I dabble in the music game and I got artists and my label and everything.
Got a whole label talking about I dabble.
Yeah. I ain't got to a place where I can just pop it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like to earn my stripes.
And then, gotcha.
So by the time I'm popping my shit, it's undisputed. You know what I'm saying? But Results Take Time. Speak to the world of music and how patient you got to be in like the stepping stones, the grind that it take to get from point A to point B to the point where you on tour, where you finally get that fan base that you know that you solidified in what you got going on.
I always feel like music, let me not say music, rap music and comedy is the two hardest things to make it in.
Facts.
I'm going to tell you why, right? If we look at something like basketball, right?
Oh, I can't wait for this diss. Let's hear this.
Let's say, no, it's not even a diss, right? It's about, what, 4,500 college basketball players? Something like that?
Yeah.
4,500 college basketball
players.
But
it's only
players,
like...
Right, but 60 of them get picked.
But it's only...
Right? Now, only about 20
Go ahead,
of them...
I'm going to let you finish, because I'm disputing this shit already.
Only about 15 to 20 of them going to have real good careers. Mm-hmm. We talking about 4 to 6 people a year that make it in music.
Okay.
Mm. Right? It's very, very hard to make it in music because of all the politics and things that has to line up for somebody to like you. Now, like you just said about the industry plant thing, you could pay to get somebody on or pay to get them seen, but you can't pay to make somebody like something.
Right.
At all.
I can't pay somebody to like my music.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could pay them to say they like it.
You could pay them to at least see it.
Yeah. But that don't mean
that. That don't
like
mean
it.
That staying power.
You know, well, radio spins. You get more radio spins if you pay too.
Yeah, you can pay for all that shit, but it's still.
They like
yeah,
it.
But yeah, guess what? You done heard a trash ass song on the radio
before. Yeah, for sure.
You can be like, this for shit sure. is awful. Why are they playing this?
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
So for me, coming from the Bay Area, we naturally come from an independent place to where it's not a lot of major record labels. It's not a lot of big managers. Mm-hmm. We don't know shit about publicists. Digital marketing was a new thing as of 2016. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of this information.
Still is, really.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It was all just like press some CDs up and try to sell it to get your name known out there. So for me, all my data came from Felon. Like, I never had like the big homie to walk me into the industry or like the Suge Knight or like the top dog or like the person to say, hey, I'm gonna protect you from what goes on in this industry. Mm-hmm. I always had to face it head on, and because of that I failed. So I went through having to feel like I got my first record when I was 19 years old and they telling me I need $3,500 to get on the radio. At the time I ain't know it was payola. I just thought I needed $3,500 to get on the radio. So I called Cuz give me the $3,500, you know what I'm saying? I give it to the radio people. My shit playing at night.
Listen, Jesus, I was about to ask you, I was about to
traffic
ask,
hours.
I was about to say, how many spins is that
worth? You feel me? They done gave me 2 spins at 2 a.m.
How many spins is that worth?
I paid $1,500.
This jockey said, thank you, bro, appreciate you.
You feel me? Like, I'm like,
on the mix.
What is this?
They played your shit on the mix.
Yeah.
45 seconds.
Yeah. You got to verse and half the hook off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you start seeing that, and it's like, damn, or I can't keep paying for these things because I don't even have the money to be paying for these things. So what is it I need to learn? One thing that helped me a lot, I had a homegirl. Matter of fact, I'm getting beyond the story. I'm moving too fast. I had a homeboy named Young Murph. Shout out to Young Murph. Young Murph was one of the first people I met that left the Bay and came to L.A. He was down here in L.A. He was songwriting, working with everybody. I'm seeing him like post pictures on Facebook. This when Facebook was popping.
Right.
I'm seeing him post pictures on Facebook, and I'm like, damn, this nigga lit. I gotta get to L.A. So I get in my car one day, and I tell Murph, man, I'm about to push down there. I get down there, And the first session I go to with Murph, I realize I wasn't good enough. Because I knew I could rap. I knew if a motherfucker tell me to rap, I could outbar they ass. These niggas was in there talking about, that girl is a real crowd, please. Trump world, everyone know me. Like, I'm like, damn. Like,
that was a hit too,
what the hell is this? And then 3 months later, it's on the radio.
Right.
And then 6 months after that, here come bruh in the Bentley. Right? Then you in there with Young Bird. You feel me? And it's like, okay, what's up, bro? I remember you, sexy lady. You feel me? I remember you, nigga. You feel me? I fuck with you. You a cool nigga. Right? And then he in the booth talking about ass fat. Yeah, I know.
Right.
You got that cash? Throw some more. 6 months later, Nicki saying this shit on radio. Young Bird riding past my goddamn apartment in a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I'm like, damn, like, what these motherfuckers know that I don't know? Like, why I keep staying at this same place? Like, why I'm not getting there?
Right?
And I had to realize I knew how to rap, but I ain't know how to write songs. So I started getting around people to help me learn how to write songs. The Derek Milanos, the Sean Garrett's, Castings, just different people that was teaching me how to write these songs. I started learning how to write songs, and I would put those songs out, and they wasn't reacting. And I'm like, damn. I did the songwriting part. What's the part? Then I start realizing marketing. You know what I'm saying? And branding and digital marketing and all these things. So for me, my process was always about the more I failed, the more I learned.
Yeah.
So I was always in a rush to fail. I was always in a rush to fail. Even if I didn't believe in the song, I'm going to just throw it out and see what information I could get. Even if somebody say in the comments, this hook trash. Or his verses is too rappy. I wouldn't know, okay, I need to start slowing it down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Start
so you would doing listen it. To it, the comments. You're
always, because I don't want to be the only nigga listening to my shit.
Right, but right. Because you got to think, at one point, your comments was a real place where you could get valuable information. Yeah. Now, people
you was only
that,
getting like five of them.
Right.
Yeah. So if five people tell you how they must mean this shit.
Yeah, the trolling
took over now.
But
yeah.
In the glory days of Instagram and Twitter, you could get real data.
Real comments.
You can get real information from them comments.
You can get real comments.
Real feedback that was valuable.
They was telling me, and I was like, damn. Because I used to hate when people be like, oh, I make the art for me. I make the music. I'm like, you a motherfucking lie, nigga, because you're going to be the only nigga listening to that shit.
In your house.
You feel me? You making shit to cater to your audience.
Right.
Now, everybody's audience is different, right? Some people's audience is small. Some people's audience is global. So different people got to cater to different things.
Mm-hmm.
I started realizing early, people fuck with me because I fit the criteria of what they feel hip-hop should be today.
Right.
I'm not a nigga with face tattoos and 16 and cutting my dick off and ready to jump off a building to go viral, you know what I'm saying, or growing my hair out with all this. I never was that person.
Right.
People look at me as, oh, that's my little brother.
Yeah.
You know, that's my little nephew. Right. Like, the morals he believe in and the principles he believe in is the same thing I taught my kids. So I started rapping based off that, and when I started doing that, I realized, okay, my audience lies here. I'm probably never going to be the guy to make the Chris Brown,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But I can speak for this demographic of people that will go tell Chris Brown fans about me. And once I figured that out, I solely just narrowed the focus on rapping towards that. And not to be long-winded, I met Nipsey Hussle in 2014, and he gave me a book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Branding. And when I read that book, I stopped looking at myself as a person and as a product.
As a business,
business.
Yeah. That's really what it come down to. You're a tradable asset.
Yep.
And when it gets to that point, one of your new favorite records of mine is The GOAT.
Yeah.
It's GOAT.
Yeah.
Where you make comparisons and you talk about how people gather information and how we always kind of pit each other against each other.
Yep.
Right? Why is it that we the only community where we gotta have the best of something? Why can't everybody have their thing and we coexist?
In my opinion, and I'm young, this could be an ignorant opinion.
It's gonna be.
But in my opinion, I feel like because our culture comes from having nothing, when we finally get something, we wanna defend it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certain people who there's something is Michael Jordan representing their era.
Right.
you know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan spoke
but that's
for
what
time.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I heard Dawn Staley say, Caitlin Clark is the best of her time.
Yeah.
She's the greatest of all time for her time.
Right.
And I was like, damn, why can't we adopt that? You the greatest of all time of your time.
Because right. that's not fun for us.
Yeah, yeah, we just like confrontation. We love arguing about shit that we can never get a yeah. real answer to.
So if you a Jordan guy and I'm a LeBron guy, I gotta prove you wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just who we are as competitors.
I love the competitive.
People.
I love the competitive nature. Even where we are with Kendrick, J. Cole, Drake,
shit.
Metro, with them trading with them trading shots and
we don't trust you.
Did y'all see the I'm
starting to look at all the intricacies of it because. They playing chess. Like Drake has it. Drake has his track listing.
Yep.
They match their track listing up with his. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's to me it's for lack of a better comparison, it's like wrestling. Future and Drake, they was guys.
Yep.
Right.
Now Future done went dark. I'm over here with Dog now. And so let's see what me and him.
Is that the reason why Drake hooked up with Cole?
Yeah.
You know
so
yeah, it's crazy.
This is one of the first rap beefs. It's not even a rap beef. Yeah. It's actually based on the music, you can tell it is a rap battle.
Yeah. And that's why
it's a rap battle. It ain't a rap beef.
Yeah.
You don't feel like
it.
Nobody is unsafe. You don't feel like nothing is gonna happen.
Did you see when Drake came at what's the name now? Travis now.
Yeah, he just shot.
As he should. I didn't see it though. What he said? Concert,
no, he just basically acted like he had a gun. He had his face Travis. He acted like he was shooting at it. She was just blowing
it's up.
Like,
yeah. That's what
damn.
I'm saying. But again,
it's a lot, man.
As fans watching it, wanting to be entertained.
Yeah.
That's the shit we love. We want to see. And then if you take it a step further, if you one of the people like me who like to sit there and like, okay, caught that bar.
Yep.
Okay, caught that. Oh, you slick motherfucker. Okay. Yep. All right, let me see what Dog said. Why you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a. I like to go back and this is lyrical warfare to me. How you feel about like?
It's no different from we just watched Iowa LSU.
Mm. It's the same shit.
We watched LSU beat their ass.
It's the same shit. Right. But I think when you introduce certain elements to it, for whatever reason, rap music, the moment that they start going back and forth, it turns into a. Well, come see me, nigga.
That's when it becomes.
You know what I'm saying?
But here's what I like about this, right? Everybody we talking about, Cole, Drake, Kendrick. We talking about people that's been made well over $100 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we know it's too much big business
much
going on
for
this shit to leak to the streets.
Right.
A lot of that shit be going on because niggas ain't got no money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas be needing a moment. They be needing something to happen to bring some type of awareness to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if Brody just shot your partner, y'all ain't going to do nothing about it. We going to rap about it and get these views right quick. You know what I'm saying? In this scenario, it ain't about no money.
Nope.
It ain't about no hits. It ain't about the women. It's solely about who's that nigga.
Mm. Right.
Who's that nigga?
Who you see coming out top? Who y'all see coming out top?
Here's what I say.
Yeah.
He don't get me.
I think all three of them, right, mm-hmm. is respected in their own ways.
Right.
Right. That's what make it fun. That's what make it interesting.
I think
we
want to
see the best of the best.
I got Cole coming off top, man. You know I'm saying y'all PS
that's
around.
Fine.
I'm going with Cole, man.
That's fine.
You know
Let
saying?
Me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
To me, I believe Southern artists are the greatest songwriters ever.
Okay.
I believe East Coast artists
mm-hmm.
in Midwest, East Coast, Mid, however you want to put it, right, are some of the greatest lyricists ever. But when you talk about the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
we are the greatest at crashing out. We are the fucking greatest at crashing out. And them niggas is going to have to become a different person to go against that little nigga from college.
No, that little nigga talk.
Because he ready to crash.
Because you know what I've learned about Kendrick?
Yeah.
Dot ain't shooting at you if he not prepared to fight.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He ain't shooting
for sure.
if he ain't ready for to sure. crash out.
For sure.
And that's what I caught the Kendrick bug late.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, like, Kendrick, he got me.
Yeah.
Like, I went to the show. And I couldn't believe, I'm like, for the first time in a long time, I went to a show and I was like, part of the party. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm dancing, I'm really into it. I'm like, oh shit, he got some.
Right. Yeah.
And the crazy thing, the show was militant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't even meant to be no party. Right. That shit was just hitting on, it was hitting on another level.
Yep.
Then I went to Drake's show, and I'm like, oh.
It's a difference.
I'm actually Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really that.
You know what I'm saying?
He really is.
I'm like, yo.
For sure.
Every single person in this building
going crazy.
Is going crazy. Yeah. I catch Cole's show, and they worshiping Cole like,
yeah.
Like he ain't human.
He's there.
And they're all arenas. There's all three different arenas, too.
Yes, yeah. Bro. I'm looking. I'm like, oh, shit. This is, I want everybody to put business aside, ego aside, pride to the side, too cool to the side. It's like, all right, let's get it.
But that's where it gets scary because
you gotta down your sword though. You gotta down your sword. Like if you listen, at what point do we get clarity with this shit?
Yep.
Rap in the rap world, it's always been a debate. Top 5, whatever.
Right.
This is an opportunity to get a clear cut understanding what's happening. This is my moment.
Yeah.
They've all been kings at certain times in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
So that ain't a problem. Y'all got championship rings.
Yeah,
and who the champ right
seen,
now though?
And that's the thing. We've seen glimpses of each one of them run their era. We didn't see Kendrick drop that Control verse, and it was like, everybody shut the fuck up. Don't nobody
say nobody's in there,
And then we didn't watch Drake go on this crazy-ass run where, like, he giving you bars and hits and dance hall songs at the same time. And in the last
he
3 years...
He took that out the Lil Wayne book.
Yeah. And in the last 3 years, we didn't watch Cole step into this space of, well, I don't feel like neither one of y'all fucking with me.
I'm going to drop this freestyle, drop another freestyle.
I'm about to go crazy on every feature, every freestyle, every album. So I'm excited just as a fan because you hear so, not even just as a fan, as a competitor in this thing, you hear so much shit about rap music being dead, right? Oh, niggas don't want to hear real lyrics. Niggas don't, because this is what's missing.
The competitiveness.
This is what's missing.
You
our
think it was too much? You think it was too much?
Niggas
linking
was
up?
Too friendly,
too much
man.
It's too much.
You niggas want to go live with each other every day, knowing y'all having sex with each other's girl, hanging y'all lying and doing all this, knowing y'all ain't friends. You know what I'm saying? This shit fake as hell. It's time to get back to what this shit is. Yeah. You don't like him and he don't like you. Yeah. That don't mean y'all gotta kill each other.
Right,
right.
But let's put these words at use and see who more clever.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like we've been missing that, bro. And I'm happy it's back. Everybody ain't friends.
You the only one with an official pick. You got J.
Yeah,
Cole.
Yeah, I'm taking J. Cole. Cause them like past 3 years, man, them freestyles, he been whoo.
I don't have an official pick, but if I had to say something, all I'm going to say
West
is
Coast.
West Coast artists, we are the greatest at crashing out. So unless you're ready to deal with a nigga that's ready to crash out, I suppose y'all
leave
this
alone. Why you think music and sports got that type of synergy where it's always competitive and they just piggyback on each other? You know, I know it's a boring conversation at this point. Artists want to be hoopers and whatever. But it's just that synergy there. It's just, it all makes sense. Is it culture?
Bro.
Is it art?
It's that my daddy taught me, if a motherfucker put his hands on you, you punch him back. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. If you on that court, nigga, get one off on you, he cross your ass up and knock that three down, he better get his ass back. What Magic say? I'm gonna get him back.
You better get him back.
You know what I'm saying? We come from that. So when somebody drop that hit or they drop that line about you and you ain't got no get back, or you ain't really about this. Like, you don't belong here. We here to compete. And it ain't about no, I want to see him die because he said a line about my mama or something. Nah, I'm going to say something about your mama. That's going to hurt your feelings two times more. You know what I'm saying? We all competitors from sports.
You even seeing it in
comedy now.
Yeah.
Me and Lou talk about
the comedians.
Club Shay Shay done turned into Smack DVD. That nigga Club Shay Shay, the new URL.
Hey,
everybody!
They crashing out on that. They crashing out on that.
Shay Shay be like, "This is a safe space."
He know what he be doing too, though.
Whatever the fuck in that bottle he got right there, that shit got something in it.
The Laporte,
that cognac.
Yeah, that cognac. Shout out to that cognac.
Shout out to Shay Shay too, man, because Unk been getting a lot of slander.
Yeah,
just on, you know.
But you know what? You know why he getting slander? Because that come with new fans.
And that's what I was just about
to say. It's people that's paying attention to him now. He's been able to touch in so many pockets that wasn't available to him before.
Yep.
Now people, they try and pick him apart like anything else.
That's what I was just about to say.
Them fits do be tight, though. Them fits do be tight.
He know they tight. That nigga brolic. What size he going to wear?
But that don't take away from the work he's put in.
Exactly. Like,
we watched the white man publicly try to embarrass our brother.
Listen, where it started. We said he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. To the point that he's one of the leading multimedia leaders right now. Right and we now. Said this motherfucker can't talk.
Facts. So regardless of whoever got to say, we salute you, Shay.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Shay called me a snitch. We got it understood under an hour.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But listen, he called me a snitch. Understood.
No, he called me a snitch. I got his number. I called him. He said, I'm gonna call you right back. He called me back. I said, Unc, just the environments we live in, me and you not in the streets, but that's just a bad thing to put next to my name.
Right.
For the topic at hand.
Yeah, that ain't had none of that.
He said, you know what? You're right. I jumped out of bounds and I apologize. I said, say less, Unc. Have a good day.
Right.
And he did it on his own. He went on Twitter and said, had a conversation with Lou Will, got it understood with my nephew, all good.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That's
I've been a supporter. Yeah. Right.
That's what it should be about as black men, because we fight so many uphill battles, bro. In this entertainment space and life in general. So when we get a club, Shay Shay, that's a platform for us.
Hell yeah.
No offense, that ain't Joe Rogan.
No, it's not.
But he's doing the same type of numbers.
Yes.
So when we got somebody like that, man, instead of tearing that brother down, man, let's support him regardless if his sweatsuit too goddamn tight.
Yeah. Who next, though?
And he got his legs wide open.
Who supports you?
He shoot for the – who next? Yeah. Who he got left? It seemed like it done turned into a – he done set the stage for comedy beef.
Yeah, he definitely got all the comedians coming on there now.
Yeah, he done set the stage. You gotta go on there.
You gotta go.
No, I walk right by him. He ain't saying nothing to me. I guess he don't know me.
He knows. Let's keep grinding, man.
He definitely knows you.
Nah, I ain't walk by him though.
Shout out to Unc.
Before I let you out, bro, I really appreciate you.
We got a few more. We ain't done yet.
All right, but can I record the clothes just in case we can use it later?
You can do that. My bad.
I came to kick it, man. Y'all got one of my favorite shows.
All right, well, look, give me a 3-minute break. Let me refill and let's keep going. That's what I was trying to get to. God damn, I just need a sack. Stay tuned. Underground Live.
Whether you're a world-class comedian or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being. And understand that proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Underground Lounge. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia, Chicago, wherever you are, it's an access center near you. And make sure you understand that the access center is easy and affordable. We love affordable, don't we? Yes, we do. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lounge to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD. healing.com/lounge. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Bank is getting a lot of money, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to hide it.
I'm not getting a lot of money, man.
You're getting some money.
You said you're getting a lot of money. K-Swiss is nostalgic. Y'all niggas crazy.
That's what they were saying out of all the dunks. I got like three pairs.
I'm having pandas on.
Yeah, I'm still wearing my pants.
You're still an all-white guy, man. You know me.
That's me 6 days out the week. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get like spanked.
I'm on the road. I only got one pair of whites with me. So if it ain't all the way necessary.
You're not going to wear it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep them on ice.
Little crinkles. rules.
Yeah, he did. I'm going to keep them on ice until it's necessary.
Gotcha. Well, we was talking about hip-hop, and, you know, since we're talking about money. Yeah. Hip-hop is a lot of money in hip-hop.
Definitely.
What's your top... I know you probably done said this before. What's your top five MCs? You said you got two lists, though. You got all-time?
Currently or all-time?
Let's start currently.
Let's start currently. Let's go currently.
We already tapped on this topic already. I want to hear it again.
Currently.
I want him to put it in context for me because he had a hot take.
Right. Yeah.
Currently, I would go, at this moment, I would go Kendrick. I would go Drake. I would go J. Cole. I would go Future. And five, I would probably go Big Sean.
Mm. Okay.
Currently.
Big Sean got caught in the weather with this whole shit. Because that record is hard.
Oh, yeah, shout out to the new record, too. He gave us a shout out on that. Yeah.
Shout out to Big Sean.
Yeah, shout
that
out
record
to Big Sean.
Was tough. Yeah, what's called? Yeah, I did. Yeah,
what's called percussion? No, what's called precision?
Precision.
Yeah. Shout out to Plastic Cup Boy. Shout out to Big Sean. Yeah, we got to have him on for that.
Big Sean, dope, man. I rock with Big Sean. But that would be my current. And then all time, I would go Hov, Pac, Big, Nas, Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
That's mine except Nas. That's mine though.
And sometimes I go between Nas and DMX, but
X
that
was,
would be
X was special, dog. Yeah, that would be X was special. X was an X factor. Like, he never really in people's top fives, but it's like when his name come up, it's like, damn, X is hard.
I just love hearing the story of how Jay said when they went on tour together.
Yeah.
And he said DMX was like the hottest thing going, but you know, Jay was closing the show out.
Yeah.
He said all you heard was his intro was like, boom, boom.
He growling.
X go,
and
he said
how the hell
I'm
supposed
crowd
to compete with that?
Yeah.
Shout out to X. We just dropped a song on Joyner Lucas' new album. That's me, Joyner Lucas, and DMX.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so shout out to X, man. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace for sure.
But yeah, no, that would be my top five in my current
time. Ain't nobody out rapping Lil Wayne to me.
Yeah,
Lil Wayne is my favorite artist of all time. Through and through.
I agree with that. When it comes to just solely rapping,
yeah,
I don't think there's nobody like that can out rap
this nigga. No. Getting better,
yeah,
like he getting better, bro.
Yeah.
And you know what you're seeing from Lil Wayne though. He said it. I don't want to be none but the best rapper alive.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm about to be glued to this studio.
And that's the thing. It ain't a lot of people's dream to be the best rapper alive. Some people just have a skill to rap, and they like, let me use this as a way to catapult
to
myself
get some other shit
into other places. Like, but you could tell people like Wayne, Eminem, you know what I mean? Nas. Hove. Like,
speaking of Eminem, hold on.
Because Hove more of a businessman.
No, but hold on, though. Speaking of Eminem.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
It's a clip going around.
Here comes the death threat.
Come on now.
You know how many white people I got death threats from when I've said that shit?
But where was you coming from with that?
Yeah, when you said
they chopped the clip up.
Okay.
I figured all right, that.
So we was at Revolt World.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let's set the record straight. Simba said, and rightfully so a lot of times, when somebody asks you, are you better than somebody?
Right.
Quite naturally, you're going to say, nah, I'm better than whoever, but Simba said he was better than Eminem, and then he doubled down on it by saying, anybody can rhyme words. So that's the context of what the fuck we talking.
Yeah, that's what we talking about. So what happened was we was at Revolt World, and we had to make a list of our top 10 rappers.
Uh-huh.
Right? And Eminem was not in my personal top 10.
Mm.
Now, that has nothing to do with Eminem as who he is.
Who he is, right.
My opinion does not matter to who the fuck Eminem is.
Right.
That nigga's an icon.
Yes,
like forever.
For sure.
You feel me? But they asked me my personal top 10, right? I gave my top 10.
Who's your 10 if you can spit it off real fast?
I had, not going off order, just trying to remember, I had Hov, Drake, Wayne, Biggie, Jadakiss, DMX, Busta, Kendrick, Future. And it was somebody else. I can't
remember.
It was somewhere around there.
I like that list.
Though. I like that list too, but.
It was somewhere around there. Right. I like that list. Right?
What?
So,
what's the.
He ain't no Future, probably.
I'm not hating on Future. I love Future music. Okay, I'm not hating on Future.
Okay, okay. Well, so I said that. So they was like, how is Eminem not in your top 10?
Yeah.
I said, to me, growing up, I didn't really relate to Eminem.
Yeah.
Right? I always thought he was a dope MC and how he put his words together and like do things and like.
I'm smiling because he's saying he can't relate. But I can't, like when I got introduced to Eminem, remember that I'm at a white high school and this is my first time being introduced to that culture of shit. So
hi, my name is
Yeah, so when I first heard it, I'm looking like this is a thing. And then I started watching kids come to school with blonde hair and shit, like and then they started talking about killing moms and shit. And I was like,
whoa.
See, my school was different.
Yeah.
Mine's too.
Like we was like, damn, like, what bro just said he'd kill his mom. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, I love my mama. Like, I don't want my mama to die, nigga.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was like, I couldn't connect.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that doesn't take away from his skill level.
Yeah.
That don't mean the shit was raw. Like, one of my favorite verses from him, Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie, Andre from Outkast, Jada, Corrupt, Nas, and Demi. But in this industry, I'm a cause of a lot of envy. So when I'm not put on this list, this shit does not offend me. Right. That's why you see me walk around like nothing's bothering me. Always thought that shit was dope.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on.
You know what I mean? Like, I always thought it was dope, but when I would hear, I see no changes. I wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor, and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch.
Mm.
That's what I woke up to.
You know, it's people actually saying that Tupac's not lyrical, bro.
People crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody got to have an opinion on it.
People say Jeezy not lyrical.
People crazy.
I'm like, bro, y'all not listening to that shit?
People crazy, bro.
Why would anybody make an argument that Tupac ain't lyrical?
This is the times where they just want to say something crazy just to get engagement. That's what it be at.
I never really connected to it, but I always appreciated his skill level.
You respected
level.
It, though.
Yeah, like, I appreciated his skill level. So we was at Revolt World, and they was like, how Eminem not in your top 10? He's the greatest ever. So it was a girl in the crowd, and she was yelling at me, like, who you think you is to not have Eminem in your top 10? So I was like...
Where y'all was at? Where?
Atlanta.
Okay.
And I was like, who said that? She was like, me. I said, rap an Eminem verse.
Yeah,
she couldn't rap an Eminem
verse.
You
got quiet.
Right? No, but before I said that, she said, I don't know one of your verses. She's like, I don't know none of your songs. I don't know no verse from you.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, rap an Eminem verse. She couldn't rap it.
All right, so she was gaslighting. Right?
So they cut the clip up.
Yeah, she fucking from where, with you. Yeah,
so then I was like, then I was talking. I was like, basically, like, anybody could, like, rhyme words. You know what I mean? And, like... put shit together nice, but
that's
it's like,
what,
that don't mean everybody
like,
connect.
Shit.
Yeah, it went crazy.
You feel
that,
me? It was like, that don't mean everybody connect to what you're rhyming, but they just cut it up
right
at the part when I said that.
And you said you got death threats.
What?
Yeah. Mom's spaghetti, nigga.
Mom's spaghetti.
I had so many skinheads in my deal, bro. Who the fuck do you think you are,
hey, Eminem, nigger? Eminem has an interesting fan base, bro.
He got a different
fan base. He got hardcore rap fan base. He got the rock and rollers. He got I ain't saying that shit. I almost said some shit just now.
Nah.
Y'all saw what Benzino did, though, at his mom's spaghetti spot?
Benzino need to calm down. Benzino need to calm the fuck down.
Benzino pulled
Benzino,
up.
Benzino, you a legend, my nigga, but you gotta calm down, bro.
He pulled up
you
to
gotta
the
calm down, bro.
He pulled up to the spaghetti
you
spot.
You gotta calm down, bro.
He took a bite of spaghetti and said, ah, man.
Your daughter lit, my nigga. You gotta calm down, bro. You gotta calm down.
I was laughing, though, man. I was laughing.
Now, Benzino,
man.
A legend. He a real, like, he really one of them.
Yeah.
Benzino,
yeah,
really a legend in the streets. But he got to calm the fuck down.
Yeah, he blocked me too.
Benzino got it. He blocked
me. Yeah, he blocked me.
What
man.
You did?
I used to be wilding on Twitter, bro. I used to be wilding.
What you say?
What I say about it? It was something with the neck. It was something with the shoulders and the neck.
Oh, I know
something.
What you said. What? You called him a French bulldog. Yeah.
Oh. That's what it was. What?
He Dang called it. Him a French bulldog.
I don't think I called him that, but that's a funny one right there. But he came back and said something back to me. I said, man, anybody trying to hear that?
Why you calling him a friend?
And then he blocked me.
It worked, though. Oh, shit.
No, he blocked me. A lot of celebrities blocked me early on when I first started getting on Twitter. I used to be on there wilding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be on
now
there
now you can't even say nothing. No yeah. more.
That's fucking hilarious. Right.
I got to delete all my old tweets. Like, we would start getting, like, different TV shows and stuff. Hey. The producers were sending tweets to, hey, can you delete this? Hey, can you delete this? I'm like, all right.
Hey, but look, if y'all go back and watch that clip of Benzino in front of Mom's Spaghetti, mm-hmm. it's literally a nigga right behind him just want his spaghetti. He don't want nothing to do with what the fuck is going on. He's so irritated that it's some shit going on behind him. Because this nigga just want his spaghetti. Right. He want to get the fuck on. And he got this look in his eyes like, Detroit going to think I'm with this shit.
Right, right.
Like,
his arms are sweaty. Knees hey, loose. Yeah. Arms is heavy. His vomit on his sweater already. Mom spaghetti.
Hey, dog. When you go back and look at the clip.
I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to check it out.
That motherfucker is irritated. He's there, bro.
Benzino got to chill out.
Yeah, he does.
Shout out to Benzino.
Shout out to Benzino. Out, man. Who knew you was going to get a shout out on the Underground Lounge, yeah, but you got one.
No, you know, because the crazy shit about a lot of this, it comes down to how dope of a businessman he is.
Yeah.
We're owning the fucking the magazine.
Yeah.
No, right. for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Because Benzino, growing up, it was like you always heard like,
and them five mics meant something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like the legends of like him being attached to the Source, like him beating up Paul Pierce. Like you always.
Well, he ain't beat him up now.
Nah, I ain't want to say what.
Nah, yeah, all right. Nah, right.
Benzino has came out to say that. That's not true. He said he ain't had nothing to do with
it. I'm saying as a kid, that's what we heard.
Right.
We so it was heard like it. You but always knew like Benzino was one of them.
But Benzino came out and said, you basketball players, y'all can't be coming to our city and dating our girls. He said that.
He did say that.
That's a crazy position to take.
Yeah, that's why.
You can't date the girls?
You can't date the girls that's in a relationship.
No, respectfully. No. He didn't say girls. He said wives.
He said wives?
He said you can't be running around with the homies' wives.
That's what he said. Okay.
Now that's.
The wives can't be running.
Yeah. Hey, the man. Wives shouldn't be running with the. Exactly. Yeah.
We know that, but.
Yeah, that's not our relationship to keep.
Yeah. We in town for one night only.
I mean, if you ask me, I always looked at it like it ain't my girl, it's my turn.
That's a bar.
You know, so
that's a bar.
Well, I
would never get
if you
mad.
Can take her, you can have her.
You can have her. Mm.
I ain't fighting you for her, man.
It's your turn.
If she walked out with you,
it's your turn.
Have at it, my brother. Have at it. It's your way.
I'm glad I was married for a long time. I didn't know nothing about that lifestyle.
They said you about to get back married.
What, married?
That's what they said.
Nah.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
It's a wrap, man.
Why?
You know what?
Let's talk about it.
You know what? I feel like...
Come on, Spank.
I just feel like...
Because I'm scared of it.
Yeah, I'm not scared of it, but I just feel like women... I love women. I love y'all. But
we're not that type of show. You ain't got to clarify.
No, you got to clarify out here. They ain't going to chop me up like they did with Eminem.
Yeah, yeah.
Spank hate women. Hold on. No, I did not. No, I just feel like, man, it's not the type world for monogamous, man. Let's just keep it real. I just can't.
All right.
That's just how I feel.
Let's get back to
the
rap.
So hold on. I want to know.
Yeah, I
so do you feel you can't be faithful?
I mean, if you want to use a spiritual word, yeah, you can do that. But I just feel like
it's nothing wrong with that, by the
way. Yeah, it's not.
Nothing wrong with
it. It's not. Right now in my place in life, I just feel like I need to just be out here single and just going on dates. That's it.
And see, I ask you that because mm-hmm. it's a lot of depressed ass men at home watching this shit right now, and they needed to hear that.
Right,
let it go, bro. Yeah. That marriage is over with, bro. Go live your life, bro. She over you and you over her, bro. You heard what my man just said. You feel me?
Join me.
Go live your life until you find the next one that you ready to hold it down with. The one you holding on to, you right there that's looking at this. You're holding on to it. Let it go, bro.
Let it go.
Running around with us. Let it go.
I think you better let it go.
Let it go.
The moment it got past 3 o'clock.
You said what?
The whole dynamic of the show changed.
Oh, this is what y'all wanted. This is what y'all wanted.
No, but people need to hear that, bro.
Directly after 3 o'clock, it got darker in here.
Hey, man, I got the alcohol now, man. Let's go.
Yeah, it got different. Look, and you got Simba with the bullshit with you.
I'm just telling them the truth, bro. Some people holding on to things they should have let go a long time ago.
These is facts.
You know what I mean? And that goes for women, too.
Yeah.
Women be holding on to a nigga like nigga been holding on to this dream forever. It ain't happening. Let that nigga go. Let it go. It ain't happening.
What you think about relationships and stuff like that? Like, why you think it goes sour and stuff like that?
I think people don't become friends.
What we doing?
First. Now we having a real conversation.
It's a real convo, bro.
It's a real convo. All
right, come on. Let me
I think relationships sometimes go bad, bro, because people don't become friends first. You got to be friends with the person you really want to be with. Like, that's I can't be living with somebody and running around with somebody that I'm not friends with.
That's a fact.
So it's like, if it's one thing to, like, you know, we having fun and we kicking it, going on trips, but that don't mean this necessarily gonna mean it's forever. I gotta at least be able to exist with you as a friend to call you a partner. So
yeah, just on some regular kicking it.
Yeah, we kicking it. But
see how I wasn't sweating early. Now I start getting some alcohol in my system. Now I'm sweating. I told you.
That Ramadan.
All right, since you want to talk about the shit,
let's talk about it.
What you looking for out there? You said this ain't the time for you to be monogamous, but I ain't never heard you to be a polygamist either.
Ooh.
I did call you on that, though. Don't front. I did question you about it.
What's up, killer? I'm bringing up my past.
You just said you ain't known, but you did. I did have a convo with you. I had a convo with D-Ray.
I qualify as an expert.
Yeah, I convo.
I got two. Feeling like I'm blue.
I qualify as expert. Yeah. They walked out at the right time.
Perfect. All right, so talk to me.
Yeah, what are you looking for in the streets right now?
I'm really
let's turn this into a dating show. We gonna match make spank.
I'm not looking for nothing right now.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, whatever happens, happens. I'm out here having a good time.
Let me. This is a crazy way to ask, because at this time, this shit is sensitive. Do you date younger, or you like to date your age?
28 and up.
Why
28? 28. 28
and up.
28. Okay. I was about to say, hey, let's switch seats. Okay, 28.
28 is great, but
okay, we're doing good.
Okay, 28. 20 plus 8.
Yeah, and up.
And up.
And up.
Why 28 is one of your favorites? Just happened to be 28. Why that number?
Yeah, one at the time happened to be 28 when we was dating. We was seriously dating for like a good half a year to a year. It was looking like it was going to be something.
What's her name?
I'm not going to do that.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm just kidding.
If she's watching, she knows who she is.
But
she blocked me on all socials, so she might not see none of that.
What you do?
I didn't do nothing.
Nah, you lying.
You can't get
blocked and not
being,
do nothing.
Being blocked indefinitely isn't a victimless crime. You did something.
What you do?
I didn't do anything.
You may not done nothing to you.
Right.
What you do to her?
My intent. My intentions was good. I guess she just didn't like what the situation, how it went.
I understand.
My intentions was good.
I can relate to that.
She was on some like, yo, no, you got a divorce. You out here. I'm going to let you live your life, but just know if you're ready to move on with somebody, just let me know.
She wanted to be serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just wasn't ready to be serious.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to respect that. See, ladies, you got to respect a man like Spank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because most of these niggas going to lie to y'all. Put the heart around Spank.
Put the heart around Spank right now.
Put the heart around him.
Listen, ladies. Let's change
something. Respect a nigga like Spank.
I'm trying to tell you. Here we go.
Respect a nigga like Spank, because he's going to tell you the truth.
Right.
See, a lot of these guys is going to lie to you. And you're going to find out what they've been lying about. He's telling you straightforward. respect this guy.
I'm not ready yet, you know.
Shout out.
I'm still healing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, brother.
Yeah,
I'm still, you know what I'm brother, saying? Women King. The only ones that can heal.
Yeah, I need to heal. That's
like,
all.
I, you know.
No, I got to heal.
Next 2-3 years, once I'm healed, I'll probably be looking for another one.
That's what's up, bro. Hey, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you in that journey.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you, too.
Well, what about y'all's situations? Why is this my situation? Sure. I don't want to talk about y'all's. Or...
Yeah.
Man, I got a life partner.
My Wi-Fi don't work. My Wi-Fi don't work.
Throw the whole laptop away. Throw the whole iPad away.
That was a good one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was a good one. Now, I got a life partner, man.
But you know what, too, though, in our careers, like, you know, hooper, rapper, comedian, it's tough, man. It's tough dealing with a relationship, too, though.
It's very tough because a lot of women that think they want to deal with a guy like us don't understand what comes with it.
Yeah. They want you to take care of them and pay for anything, but
they don't understand. You ain't going to be there 4-5 days out the week.
Right, right.
And then they start feeling some type of way. Like, I didn't date girls where it's like they think it's going to be this, like, oh, we gonna go to the games and take pictures every day. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be lit. Everybody know him. Everybody know me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, now I'm in the studio Monday through Thursday, and I got shows Friday till Sunday. So you wanna come?
You out.
When you get there, they think it's a vacation. It's like, no, this work.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
This work. Like, we ain't on vacation, so it's tough, bro. Because
when last time you flew some shit out, my boy?
Oh, we talking, huh?
I told y'all that's Hold what on. I'm talking about.
All right. Be careful.
Last time I flew something out.
Be careful.
Not even like on no scandalous shit. Just you said you dating.
A couple weeks ago.
And you move around. You on
couple
tour.
Couple weeks ago.
I ain't trying to set you up for no booze.
Nah, I can't be said. I'm single. I'm single. Okay. Ain't that exactly?
Right,
I'm
go.
Single,
but
single.
But he talking about no comment.
Huh?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I flew somebody out.
Okay.
What does a spank flyout look like?
Yeah, like is that an all like, inclusive?
What does that look what is, like? Yeah, do you call what is the that, Uber? Bro?
Are you an all inclusive guy? Are you a door to door guy?
Yeah, like what does that look like?
In LA, I'm not picking you up.
Okay.
I'll send an Uber. You can do curbside Uber Black. They pick them up from the curb.
We
walk
talking
out.
About.
Hmm?
We talking about from Maine to Spain. Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah.
What'd that look like?
Like did you sign her up for TSA like, pre-check? Like,
No. She got to do all that when she gets to the airport.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
But, you know, free bag if it's first class, you know what I'm saying? Or Southwest, it depends on if it's a straight
flight. You Southwestin?
If it's a straight flight.
You a wild boy.
If it's a straight flight.
Southwest, man.
Y'all putting y'all women on Southwest?
Man, if you going from L.A. to the Bay.
No,
that's a quick flight, Vegas.
Quick flight,
it's a quick flight.
Put her on a dollar bus then. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? What?
Bro, Vegas is a quick flight, bro. And I don't got to go to the LAX. They come right over here
Vegas
in Burbank.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
You kidding me right
they
now?
They come to Burbank.
Bro,
nah,
Southwest
I'll pick you up from Burbank.
And they got the most flights.
The game need reform. Y'all can't do that. Y'all are two players.
But sometimes I do first
Y'all
class.
It
depends on.
Hey, listen, you know the only way you can get away with that?
How?
Is if that's like really, that's me.
Yeah.
Y'all can do what the fuck y'all want to do. When right. when that's a real connection,
yeah.
I do what the fuck y'all want to do. When
that's
you
right.
still
that's true. That's
when you
true.
Still trying to figure it out and y'all on y'all best versions of y'all fake self,
mm-hmm.
you gotta play the game.
I don't fly people out at that time though. I gotta get to know you a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Once you get to
I
know
I gotta get to know you a little bit.
You a Southwester before you know her? Because if I know you, understand exactly why you're on Southwest.
That's not what we're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
So you're right, you're right.
No.
Because if I'm just meeting somebody, well, I ain't going to lie.
You don't put somebody on a buddy pass before.
I ain't going to lie because, bro, Vegas 45 minutes.
It's quick,
bro. It's right there.
It's quick.
I ain't going to lie, I like to take a little jet suite joint, too.
Oh, yeah, you got the jet suite.
I ain't even saying you got to do all that. I'm just saying just
but
put,
the jet
a, put on
the, same
the,
price
the nearest
Southwest
and the dearest first class.
First class.
And that's the same lifestyle, y'all. That 345 is the same. Y'all niggas going $79 on them, man.
No. Sometimes
put some respect on Southwest.
Yeah, Southwest
now,
like,
that's the one to get away.
Southwest got to put some respect on Southwest. That's the one that want to get away.
We're not booking the one to get away. That's the standby. tried to do us dirty. We ain't booked the one to
be. That's the very first one, bro. Nah, you go. You go a little further down. You go a little further down. You give it that 1 to 15 check in. You give it that 1 to 15.
That's the 1-19. Yeah, that's the second dot.
That's the third one. It's the third one you want to get.
The one to get away.
Hey,
oh my
Spirit,
God.
Them folks said, hey, look, man, we not putting no hydraulics in these seats, bro. Ain't no motherfucking lean back
on Spirit. On Spirit, though.
Spirit like a bus
Spirit
in the sky.
Said they not leaning no seats back.
I'm not doing that.
What
Spirit.
Type of shit is that? Spirit. How much did they
the
cut out the budget for that?
I don't know.
Why
bro.
Can't I recline my
recline
seat?
Seats must cost an extra $100 a seat or something.
I actually considered it one time. I ain't gonna lie.
I flew once. I had to though, because I had to fly from like Texas somewhere to Boston, and I had to do like a host of step show, like 3 in the afternoon. So I had to get there.
I don't know. It's too much color on they planes for me feel light. Like
I ain't gonna lie. I stayed in the city an extra night one night because I wasn't trying to get on.
Wasn't trying to
get on
Spirit.
Like,
yeah.
I waited till the morning.
This was years ago though. Never again. Yeah. Never.
They got it. Hey, come on, Spirit.
Y'all got to step it
up,
man.
Put an extra spring in that seat. Let us lean it back a little bit. Come on now. We'll fuck with you. We'll give you the extra 10.
Oh, my God.
You don't get it back, man. Put a spring in that motherfucker, man.
All right, let's try to get back to where we was at.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I know where we're going. I got it. We was going to talk about on this episode about our childhood TV shows.
Hell no, that's ain't where we was at.
That's where we going. That's where we going. We wanted to talk about this, you know what I'm saying? I think Simba would be a good person to talk about this because we all know the black shows.
Yeah.
What white shows did we used to enjoy? Hopefully Dr. Umar don't see this.
White show.
He got smoke for Dr. Umar. He got smoke.
What's wrong with Dr. Umar?
He got smoke for Dr. Umar.
Y'all need to get Dr. Umar.
I ain't feeling Dr. Umar.
For real?
I ain't feeling Dr. Umar. I don't want
to
go on
the
tangent.
Yeah.
I ain't feeling Dr. Umar until we get some. Until we pop up on each other's radar.
Right.
Gotcha.
It's smoke.
I would say one of my white shows as a kid. Saved by the Bell.
By the fucking Bell. Bayside High.
That was the show.
Hey, who? I felt like I was Zach Morris in my school.
Yeah.
I thought I was Zach. Who you was?
Yeah, I was definitely Zach, bro.
All of us was Zach. Yeah.
I was more popular than the superstars on the team at my high school.
I was a superstar.
Yeah, I was more popular than you. Zach. If I went to your school, I'd have been more popular.
What's another good white one?
Come on, Lou. Come on.
Hell no, boy. Well, hell no. I had that shit going. I had Michael Vick in my school in 04.
In 04? Okay.
Yeah,
think about who Michael Vick was in 04.
I remember.
Yeah, I had Michael Vick in my school, man.
No,
we sold season tickets to my high school game. Spank, you'd have had season tickets, boy. You'd have been in the crowd, general admission, GA.
No. I'd have been on the floor. Yeah. I'd be on the floor.
Not that we was in the school together. You in the student section.
I'd have been on the floor.
Student section.
Bro, you don't understand how popular I was. This is how popular I was in high school, bro. Just because
I
played.
I was on Cribs in high school.
Huh?
You heard me?
What you say?
I was on Cribs in high school.
Yeah, it was somebody else's crib, though. Wasn't it?
But I was in there.
It
was
somebody else's crib, though. You know what I'm saying?
But I was there.
It was somebody else's crib.
I was there.
You was there, though. You were. I saw it.
But
you
that's important to be there,
though. That's important to be there.
Big MTV Cribs was hey. Back then. Remember Red Man Crib?
I'm league 6 months after that.
You was.
You got some legendary.
You know what I would have said though? We probably would have been partners though. I always was cool with the cool.
Oh no, real talk.
I always was cool with the cool. So I got along with everybody except the football team.
Yeah, we ain't like the football team.
Nah, bruh, I got down one time on the news. I just said, you know, because our school was known for football. You know what I'm saying? So. I just like, you know, this year the football team not having a great year, so the basketball team, we holding it up. I'm on my best, like, professional idea that I got as a high school kid. I'm talking about my high school and shit. In between classes, we leaning against the wall. Shit like a episode out of Varsity Blues. The motherfucking gym doors just blow open. Boom!
Football
team. Letterman's like a motherfucker. Them niggas marched up to me. You said we weren't good on TV? Yeah, that's what I said. What the fuck wrong with y'all? Well, my heart beats so good.
Yeah, with their cut off t-shirts.
Hey, my heart beat so fast, bro. And it de-escalated, right? We had one football player on our team, and he happened to be like the crazy, you know, right. Hit yeah, his yeah. head against the locker mm-hmm. type guy, bleeding all down his head. Shout yeah. out to Adam Petway.
Yeah.
He was on a basketball team, too. He was the only one we was really scared of.
Right.
We knew he was about that action. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? We knew he was about that for real.
Right.
Yeah. Said, Petway, you ain't mad at me, is you? He said, hell no, man, we did suck. I said, well, fuck them niggas did. Shit. My whole chest blew up after that. Look, Petway ended up, let me tell you something crazy. He ended up being a strength and conditioning coach in the NBA, right?
Oh, wow.
But listen, my memory of him, he's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's before a game, bro, and I'm stretching. And so I got my back to the sky. And somebody tapped me on my shoulder, and I look up, and it's fucking Petway.
Mm.
But I think he's so crazy. I said, Petway, what the fuck you doing on the court? I'm like, Petway, get off the court. He's like, nah, man, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. He was a strength and conditioning coach in the NBA. I didn't know it.
Hilarious.
But he was so crazy. When I look, I'm like, bruh.
Right. You wilding right now, bro.
Yeah, that's tripping.
That's crazy you say that, because so many people give up on their dreams because they didn't make it the way they wanted to make it.
Mm-hmm.
When there's so many other spaces you can still participate. Right? So it's a lot of people that probably didn't make it as a player, as an NBA, but they were good enough to, like you just say, become a trainer.
That's
right?
A fact, because I didn't see that in his card.
Yeah.
You know, you thought you was going to be a hooper, and you ended up being a very successful.
Hold on. What's going on? How did it get back to me?
What did I say wrong?
It was MTV Cribs. It was MTV Cribs. It was that one.
I appreciate that.
But that's a real thing, because I be telling people in the rap space, like, everybody be so focused on trying to be the rapper. Like, the rapper ain't got a manager or a booking agent or a publicist or a digital team. It's other ways to contribute sometimes.
I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna contribute no other way outside of comedian. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't being no road manager.
That's your contribution.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not being a road manager. I'm not.
But that's what you do.
That's what you do.
I know, but you said.
So this conversation ain't for you.
Just in case I didn't make it as a comedian is what I'm saying.
But you did. Why you? Who you got it out for? Because I feel like it's a road manager out there. You try to goddamn.
I just can't see me doing that position. That's all.
We don't either.
That ain't for you.
All right, you're right.
You the type of nigga that needs a road manager.
You just told us you was the most popular nigga in high school. Now all of a sudden, you telling us
no, because he's saying how people can, you know, go other ways with it.
But you found your way. Even though you got down, you're not the lead singer of the band.
Right.
But
it's the same thing. But you're an intricate part of what's going on.
It's a lot of comedians you probably grew up with that probably would have went a lot further trying to be a manager.
That is true. Because I started with a lot of kids.
They would understand the space.
And a lot of them not doing it.
They would understand what you do a lot more, but they just probably wasn't as funny as you or didn't understand what you understood.
Yeah.
That's who I'm talking to.
Right,
just because
talking to them,
you can't be the face don't mean you can't be the arms or the legs or the hands.
Yeah, just
you know what I mean?
If the sports shit don't work, you just find something, you know what I'm saying?
Keep coming back at me, man. I never took basketball serious, though. That was my problem. I took it serious.
Yeah.
You averaged 26 points a game.
What year was you? What year when you averaged 26?
Shit, I think that was 07. But that was, probably 07 or 08.
So that was what, your sophomore, junior?
Yeah, sophomore year.
That's good. That's great.
That's varsity? It'd be hard for me to play basketball now because.
So what to make sure it was varsity. That's all I'm wondering.
What you thought it was?
It could have been JV.
I'm one of them people that love hoop so much. Like, when I go to the gym and start hooping for 2 days, it's a wrap. I'm not going to the studio.
Right.
Love that shit.
Yeah, I'm finna call the trainer. I'm finna shoot 1,000 shots a day. I'm finna run 2 miles a day. Like, I'm finna start going to pro-am. I'm watching film on myself at 24-hour fitness. Like, I get too into it.
So what you dropping in these celebrity games? I've seen you a couple times.
I just dropped 40 the other last week in one.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I just dropped 40 in one. Shout out to the Watson twins.
So there's a lot of rappers out there that can hoop.
Yeah.
You saying you the best out of all the rappers?
Let's do this.
Yeah.
If you can put your starting five of rappers together,
okay,
who would it be?
That's nice. I like that.
I would go NLE Chopper.
Mm-hmm. His new song is kind of.
We ain't talking about his music.
You're right. All right.
We're talking about his game.
What happened? I got distracted.
No, his new song is crazy, bro.
I would go in
crazy
LA
good
chopper.
Or crazy bad.
That's what he's saying. What
he said? You know what? Don't say it.
He said something like, "I would fuck me if I was something." I'm like, "Whoa, what? Hold on. How it go? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Come on, let's
if
keep
we
moving.
Was playing
we got
basketball.
NLE chopper.
I got NLE chopper. I got Quavo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now side.
Quavo, NLE, J. Cole.
Cole took that shit to Africa.
Yeah, he did.
Cole said, "I'm finna hoop somewhere.
I'm gonna get this off."
Lil
he
Durk.
Took that shit to Africa.
Lil Durk. I keep hearing Lil Durk and hoop.
Lil Durk is
shoot. Durk got Dope Boy Gang.
Oh, yeah. You know?
He got the crooked Lil motherfucker. Yeah. You know, the dope. Every dope boy got this one. Durk got Dope Boy Gang.
I would go Durk and then Gilly.
No Chris Brown?
He not a rapper.
Well, that nigga rap
right.
A lot.
You're right. That nigga's an icon.
Yeah.
He do a lot of rap.
Okay, I would substitute. Let's say
you got the old head Gilly in there.
Gilly,
I'm having smoke
Gilly
for Gilly.
You got smoke for Gilly?
Only reason I got smoke for Gilly because he got smoke for Jamal Crawford, and I just feel like if you think you can do anything with Jamal Crawford,
you think you do?
That's like an underhanded jab
right.
At me.
Okay. All right.
So hold on. As we saying publicly right now, you a dog, Gil?
Yeah. Hell no, I doggy.
Ooh.
You know that,
hey, Damian Gillard. Hey, Chauncey Gillard.
Listen here.
Your man just said he a dog you. Now, you been talking all that shit. Wallow.
Uh-huh.
Lou just said he a dog you.
Hey, listen. Let's be clear. My relationship with Gilly go back 15
years. That's fam.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Gilly done been in the studio, done helped me structure songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got on records with me, embraced me, come in the studio. One thing Gilly was going to do when he came in the studio, he was going to get his 20-minute basketball conversation.
Right.
For sure.
And then turn the beat on.
Right. Yeah.
But we done been in the studio so many times before he's turned into this fucking icon on the internet.
Podcast.
And being,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, being just iconic in a space that fit him, and he's being himself that the whole time.
Nah, Gil was the first nigga to take me to a studio in Philly, him and my nigga Noodle.
Oh, my God.
Batcave.
Yeah, Batcave Studio. That's where I recorded.
Yeah, Batcave.
Mr. Ruggs, but Ruggs.
Yeah, Ruggs.
Yeah, Ruggs.
Ruggs the engineer.
Ruggs know about me, man. I probably made about 60% of my music in the Batcave.
Yep.
That's probably why Philly love me. They trying to figure out why the fuck this nigga play for the Sixers and he ain't here. Why is this nigga in here with us?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Philly embraced me to the point like, Ruggs, Gilly used to be in there with me. My man's Garcia used to be in there with me. Me and Meek used
to
get in
Garcia.
The studio.
Yeah.
Real guys in the city of Philadelphia that embraced me. But basketball,
you'll put him on that grill. Barbecue bake you, Gil.
Well, last time you hooped?
Listen. It's muscle memory.
Muscle memory, don't matter.
Yeah, like I'm a sensei at this shit. Real talk.
I know what I'm saying?
I see Gil be challenging a lot of people.
We do.
Nah, Gil's a real shooter. He is a lefty. So he can shoot. But I don't think Gil could beat Jamal Crawford. And I told him.
Nah, of course.
He said that shit. Before. Jamal Crawford kept jabbing. Gil, where you at?
I didn't even know he responded.
Yeah, he keep jabbing at him.
Oh, wow.
Gil act like he don't see him.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I ran into Gil in Vegas. I said, "What's up? We go to the gym tomorrow." He said, "Come on, let's go." He ain't called me.
Shout out to Gil. Yeah,
shout out to Gil and Wallow, man.
Shout out Gil and Wallow.
We're going to get them on one of the episodes as well.
Yeah, yeah.
My guy's there.
For sure, man.
What happened? Time to wrap it up? Oh, yeah, you want to do a freestyle?
Come on, let's get to it. We can talk about it. God damn it, what we doing? All
right.
Lou, you rapping?
I go first.
Spank gonna rap.
I set this bitch off.
Huh?
I don't need no words though. Just give me the instrumental.
You going instrumentals?
Give me the instrumental, baby.
Instrumentals or acapellas.
Oh.
Just got a call from my concierge. Mm-hmm. And that was just a warning. We ain't out of there. Thick smoke. Thicker than my bitch head. Jordan dropped last night. I got six pair.
I was thinking
just
some
to mix
shit
that
last
shit
night.
Up with the Montclair.
I was thinking some shit last night. I was saying, I said the rap game all fucked up. The numbers is down. The niggas act like bitches, so the girls grew nuts. Niggas talking to the camera too much. Go broke, get on the podcast, and disrespect they mans come up. Y'all boys worse than dope that's cut. Cause niggas step on everything instead of stepping their priorities up. Your baby mama drive a Ford that she can't even afford. Now she gotta clean floors for them kids that you ignored. We living in a war where most women is wanting more than what the nigga that they typically end up with can afford. So niggas going broke buying bottles and renting fours. But once you get that yours, she yours inside that yours. They like Simba, drop some music, so I guess it's time. Well, I've been acting in design and Spank, I'm getting fly. I'm two steps ahead of these niggas who next in line. These laundry mad ass rappers be sounding washed and dry. They say I need a song with so-and-so, I'm not surprised. But every time I send him a verse, he petrified. It's time to kill the rap game for a second time. I'm doing drive-bys in a Tesla, that's an electric slide.
Right. Yeah, right. Hey, man, get the stage together, man. Get the stage together. What are we doing?
We on the way. No, we got new music on the way, man.
What's the name of the new project? You care to get that out yet?
Know
you ready yet?
I really don't even know yet.
Let me name it, bro.
It's coming soon. Yeah.
We got to get in, too. We've been talking about getting in.
No, we got to get in. We got to get in. We got to overdo. Because I disrespected you. Because I made a top five NBA rapper list. And I was just going right off.
I forgot my dog was a killer.
Lillard? I had like Marvin Bagley before my dog.
Marvin Bagley?
I had just seen Marvin Bagley.
Oh, you just seen it, so he was
and
in
we was rapping, it was right, just right. Like, it was fresh off, you know what I mean? Right. But I forgot him and Shaq.
Oh, yeah, Shaq
I
definitely
forgot him and Shaq.
He's the only one with a platinum record.
So I apologize for that. Because I definitely disrespected
I might have just started rapping right now just to prove my
goddamn
point.
What you got, bro?
No, I ain't got nothing.
You got something.
I ain't got to look my daughter like, yeah.
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 The young was like, yeah. The old was like, no.
Right. I'm going to do it just to spite her ass. Yeah, nigga, ain't no angels in the city of. Because Lord know I do the devil's work to plenty young.
Okay.
Broken Halo, Fallen Soldier, y'all been missing form. Sly Smirk, long hair conceal my evil horns. Facing accusations on a daily basis. Me and my soldiers standing firm in formation. Don't sweat the cadence, baby mamas, I'm having relations. I'm in your pantry grabbing chips, hoping babies awaken. Speaking of awaken, I got to take a minute. That shit crazy. On this episode of the Underground Lounge, Lou Will, Spank Horton, and our special guest, Simba. Appreciate you stopping in, my dog.
Love
you.
Shout out your handles, man. Let them know where they can see
you. Come on, at the real Simba, man. At the real Simba. You can find me on all platforms. That's TheRealSymba. Shout out to these brothers, man. I love them.
Yes, indeed.
Shout out to the gang. We here. Let's get it.